99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock, and the program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And,
to Rebecca and Melanie and Maya and Zoe and Eva, Greta and Sadie, hugs and kisses.
Uncle Mateus, and thank you. And stay tuned for Back of the Book right here. Thank you, Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's probably in the vicinity of about, 5 o'clock in the morning or so, and you're listening to all Bah Humbug Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around up there, and when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 159th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referring to those things on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the past week throughout several different multiverses is: we are holding at 122 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. That did fluctuate slightly over the past fortnight, but it's at 122 as we record this program. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, January 10th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We held the first meeting of the 13th WBAI local station board on December 10th. Yes, there were 12 previous ones, and this is number 13, and we count that by has there been an election to replace people, and there was an election that replaced people. So we are now in the midst of or the beginning of the 13th WBAI local station board. And the meeting didn't go that badly, but it did feature one bad actor who disrupted the meeting by complaining about how the agenda was being handled, even though it's been handled that way for quite a few years, and even though that person and her faction had voted to make the process of setting the agenda and when you do a roll call work exactly this way. That same person complained that the LSB was going to use an online service to count the votes for LSB officers. Yeah, the local station board is required by the bylaws to elect officers at its December meeting. And so we set about doing that. And she doesn't like that we're going to use an online service for it. And she's still complaining about that after the meeting. She then got to make a small change in the agenda without even getting the damn thing voted on. She will bully her way into things sometimes. We then had the nominations for local station board officers. And some very unqualified people, including one person who used to stalk staff at WBAI years ago, got nominated for some of the positions as officers. I was nominated for treasurer once again, and someone from that same faction as the person who was trying to stall the agenda nominated another person to run against me, but that person wasn't at the meeting just at the moment when that nomination happened. 2 days later, when he found out that he'd been nominated, he declined the nomination and pretty much endorsed me. So I'm the treasurer again of the WBAI local station board as the only candidate. Now that faction member is complaining that there's no provision for write-in candidates on the service that's handling the voting for the local station board. And various people from that group are claiming that the Pacifica bylaws require write-in votes. Well, they can't say where you can find that in the bylaws, and some of them are making claims about the bylaws that just aren't true. And, you know, there's nothing in the bylaws about that crap. So this 13th WBAI local station board is going to be quite interesting. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has their website, and they are putting out information on the death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic again. I guess somebody woke up over there. They say that as of December 16th, 2023, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,161,602. That works out to 10,167 dead since our November 4th program, and that works out to about 1,695 people dying from COVID-19 every week over those 6 weeks. Yeah, the pandemic is still here, and they've got a new strain of interest showing up. Oh boy. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our latest booster shots, along with our flu shots. And we don't want to get this disease because, wowee, you know, that is an interesting number. In 6 weeks, over 10,000 dead from COVID-19. And people say, oh, it's over. No, it's tell those 10,167 people it's over. Or tell the, 1 million plus people it's over. Yeah, we got to watch out for this stuff. And we have a program note. We're recording this program in our bedroom instead of our living room again. We're still experiencing difficulty with the printer, and the deal there is we usually write stuff up and print it out on the printer. And it's a laser printer. And so we then drag it into the living room where we have more room, and we have our fabulous studio set up. Yeah, it's a couple of microphones and a recorder on top of a typing table. And so we do it in there. But we can't print anything anymore, which is a real problem. And the problem with the printer is it's not the toner cartridge, as we'd thought. It's looking like I'm going to have to learn how to figure out how to fix the HP 2200 printer, because I need to find out how it grabs the paper as it prepares to print anything. And then I'll need to see if I can fix that mechanism. I'm not sure I can. It's possible that some tiny piece of rubber has worn out over the years, and I'll need to see if I can replace such a thing, or if I have to throw out my extremely expensive printer and buy a new one. I don't want to do that. Also, we were supposed to be preempted last week. Here's another part of the program note. We were supposed to have been preempted last week. Management puts out a what they call the 52-week schedule that says when you're going to be preempted. And we were on there to be preempted last week. And imagine my surprise when I tuned in just after 5 in the morning and I heard one of our previous programs airing. Apparently, management had forgotten that we were preempted, and so the ops person on duty had no choice but to put on that previous program. I'll note that that program does not show up in the WBAI archives, and that's probably because, you know, management doesn't want to. I guess the deal is management will just have some kind of a blank in that spot. I suppose that's legal. But anyway, yes, that was quite the surprise. And a lot of the time what I do is I write to everybody reminding them that, oh, you know, we're not on this week. And I didn't do it this time because it came during what I refer to as difficult week, where I had the National Finance Committee meeting and I had that local station board meeting. And before the local station board meeting, I have to produce a treasurer's report, which is a number of pages long. And all sorts of stuff has to happen. And many things piled up. And I simply never wrote to management and said, reminder, this is what you say is happening. So I didn't write to them. And they didn't remember anything. They didn't look at their own schedule. And so there we go. So sorry, folks. You know, oh well, you weren't going to get a back of the book last week in any event, but you're getting this one now. And I'll be careful to really make sure I remind management from now on, now that I know they really need those reminders. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
Oh, Pickles here. We're doing a little, left-hand turn here, and we're going to read a bit more from A Dictionary of Superstitions. Last time we read a little segment from this, it was all about the mandrake root and the creepy superstition surrounding its planting and use. Very interesting. This time we're going to look at things people in the Middle Ages and quite beyond that believe, or perhaps believe still, about mistletoe. Mistletoe. Gallic druids gathered mistletoe from sacred oak every year on the sixth day of the moon, which then corresponded to the beginning of the year. A French expression, a new year at the mistletoe, is witness to this, even though the plant is especially celebrated on Christmas Day. Mistletoe undoubtedly acquired part of its magical value from its apparent immortality, since it grows green and flowering in the heart of winter on a dead tree. This magical value is also due to its growing in bouquets of three branches, the number three being a revered number. The Druids believed that it was sent directly from heaven and gathered it with great ceremony, never cutting it with vile metal, but with the aid of a gold hedge bill or with their bare hands. I believe the vile metals were things like copper and
iron,
yeah. They attributed it with curative virtues and offered it in a talisman to believers. Now, let me just stop right there and say, people are still attributing healing powers to mistletoe. One person that comes to mind is somebody who died pretty recently, Suzanne Summers, because that when she had cancer, I think she had breast cancer. I'm not sure if she had any other cancer over the years. But one of the things she, you know, swore by was taking mistletoe for her cancer. I believe she also went through, you know, ordinary treatments for it too, what I consider ordinary and valid treatments. But we continue. In Germanic tradition, mistletoe placed under the sign of a goddess of love maintained the fraternity of man, but also assured invincibility and guaranteed against wounds on the battlefield. Decoctions of this plant are given to animals to promote their fertility. People drink it as an antidote. One wonders what kind of antidote that is.
I think that's poisonous.
Well, yes. Now, this is something people believe. Now, maybe not everyone did all these things. But this was, I guess, common knowledge, folk knowledge, I suppose. Its virtues come to light only if its branches were gathered with the right hand. Mistletoe also cures epilepsy. Oh, boy. An afflicted person drinks it in an infusion or carries a few blessed leaves on him. It is still believed to cure jaundice. Oh, my. Some attach a few branches to the door of newlyweds to bring them happiness. Others place some in front of their bedroom to ward off nightmares. But even more numerous are those who kiss under the mistletoe at Christmas as a sign of love. A woman who has never been kissed under these conditions before her marriage risks having a hard time throughout her married life. Yeesh. But it is also affirmed that mistletoe branches that have witnessed too much gushing forth cast an evil spell on those who kiss beneath them. To exorcise this spell, the branches must be burned on the 12th night after Christmas. It's amazing how many times it's you. There's no happy medium with these superstitions. It's either glorious or death. If some mistletoe is hung in a tree with a swallow's wing, all the cuckoos in the area will rush to that place. Oh, the poor swallow. A bouquet of mistletoe is given to a cow that calved after Christmas in order to protect the cattle from epidemics. The golden bough, endowed with immense medicinal virtues, is supposedly a branch of mistletoe whose green leaves turn yellow at the new season. Ah, the healing, the curative powers of the mistletoe, which is basically a parasite, right?
Yes, it's a parasite. That's why it's growing out of a dead tree. It's, yeah, it's eating up the what's left of an oak tree. But, well, so I knew about the kissing thing. They make plenty of hay out of that on TV and movies. Oh, the mistletoe and all of this. I think I was a little kid when I first heard about that. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. I was probably like 5 or 6, maybe like that. And people were making a big thing about it. And I don't know. I think some of my relatives were trying to get kissed by other people or something. And I don't know. Maybe somebody kissed me when I was 5 under the mistletoe because everybody else was doing it. So, but yes, yeah, so it does a lot more than the silly thing of, oh, it's a mistletoe, we're required to kiss under it. That's the thing some people do, is they change it to say, oh, it's mistletoe, we're required to kiss under it. No, really? Really? This isn't just you want to kiss that person and so you're setting them up? Ugh.
Well, a lot of this stuff gets watered down over the ages, too. Especially the deathly cursive aspects of whatever plant you're using at the time. Would you like to hear one about Christmas?
Oh, you mean the time of year that's near Isaac Newton's birthday? Sure, go ahead.
Indeed, here's some superstitions. Oops, excuse me. About Christmas. The anniversary day of Christ's birth, Christmas replaces the pagan feast of the winter solstice. No, it doesn't. The solstice is the solstice.
And it's still there, and there's nothing they can do about it.
This is true. In Celtic and Germanic rites, the sacred tree of fir was celebrated on this day. In Alsace, December 24th is dedicated to Adam and Eve because biblical legend presents Christ as the new Adam who was to save all humanity. You must abstain from eating apples on this day because you risk getting ulcers. In the same region, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the branches of trees that have not yet borne fruit are cut. Later in the year, the first fruits of these trees are given to children. They alone have the power to chase away evil spirits and therefore assure good crops. I'm not sure if they're talking about the fruit or the children, but anyway. On Christmas Eve, a girl who walks backward toward a pear tree and then circles it 9 times will see the image of her future husband.
Oh, really?
If she makes noise in a chicken coop and a hen answers, she will remain single. If a rooster answers, she will find a husband. She can also scatter 12 sage leaves in the wind to have news of her future husband. Witches and demons come out on Christmas night. They can be seen wandering outside the way they do on the summer solstice. It has been affirmed that phantoms disappear on this night, but it is best to leave the doors open at midnight so that the evil spirits can leave. It is a night of marvels, illustrated by the harmony between man and the plant and animal worlds. At midnight, animals speak the language of men. In each haxel tree grows a golden bough. If you succeed in cutting it during the 12 strokes of midnight, you will always be rich. Again, the golden bough of mistletoe. But if you don't do it during that time, you will join the dead.
Oh!
If a hole is dug in a cemetery at midnight, gold will be found there. Druidical stones begin turning over. Oh, boy. Wow. Does that mean Stonehenge, like, goes topsy-turvy? I don't know. If you go outside the church during the consecration at midnight mass, the consecration is when, you know, they take the host, which represents bread and wine, and that's supposed to be the body and blood of Christ. You can see a procession of dead souls through town. In order to uncover witches at this mass, cross 2 knives on the edge of a fountain or carry 3 kinds of wood. Whoever fasts on Christmas Eve, enters the church backward, and takes the holy water with his left hand will know all those who will die within the year. Ah, the power. How many miscreants messed around with people's heads by doing that, boy? Linked to tree worship, the Yule log is burned on Christmas Eve. The French cake of the same name is eaten on that night. Ah, the delicious bouche de Noël. Oh, so yummy. As many logs as there are inhabitants of a house are placed in the hearth. The fire must not go out on this night under the penalty of disaster. And a person armed with a gun must always stay by the fire during midnight mass. Wow, that is one custom that we never practiced in our house. The fire must only be tended by your fingers. No iron instrument can go near it. If this fire makes a lot of sparks, the harvest will be plentiful the following summer. If it projects headless shadows onto the wall, some members of the family will die during the year. Its ashes must be carefully saved. They protect against storms, cure illnesses, and fertilize the earth. They actually do fertilize the earth, so that one is actually a true fact. A log reserved for Christmas Eve must not be sat on. It will give you boils. I guess we know where those boils are going to show up, too. A Christmas tree of fir must be burned before the 12th night after Christmas, January 6th, the original Christmas Day. Those who neglect to do this risk having a death in the family. Let's see. Children born on Christmas night understand the language of birds. tweet, tweet. That's for all you who grew up in this tradition and were born on that night. In Anglo-Saxon countries, the plum pudding is stirred in the direction of the sun. A wish accompanying this gesture will be granted. This superstition goes back to ancient solar rites. Oh, I love that one. Ancient solar rites. The plum pudding.
Oh, well, you know, human beings were busy doing a great deal of this stuff long before there were really organized superstitions. And, you know, you can trace all this stuff back to, God, we don't know how far back. I suspect that Pinnacle Point, which is the cave complex at the southern tip of Africa, which is where every one of our ancestors, well, where the ancestors of every human being now living came from. At one point, there were fewer than 600 people at Pinnacle Point, and from them, we have more than 7 billion people on the Earth now. And I suspect they were still doing some of this silly crap back then, you know, sun worship and all of that. It's understandable that if you're, especially if you're in a climate change situation where the glaciers are coming and it's getting cold, if you can stand out in front of the sun and it warms you up, oh, you're going to welcome that. That feels so much better. Even these days, if you're cold and you're outside and then the sun comes out, oh, it feels so much nicer all of a sudden. So, yeah, people were doing these things, but I suspect that at Pinnacle Point, this type of thing was already old, because we know from excavations that there were Neanderthal burials, and there were dead Neanderthals. They were buried. There were grave goods in them. They had an entire ritual that we can see that was done. They had things they did around a dead body with burying them. And if you put something valuable in a hole in the ground, there's got to be a reason for it. And we figure these days that the reason is you think they're going to bring this into the afterlife. So that kind of nonsensical belief was already happening probably before modern humans came to be. You had your Neanderthals who were around quite a while before modern humans were. Who knows how far back it goes? Were the Neanderthals and Denisovans, who were sort of a branch of the Neanderthals, were they the first to start coming up with gods and superstitions? Or was that something that even predates them? Because we know that there were hominins, that is, creatures on the earth that weren't human, but were pretty much going in that direction. And if you go back far enough to our pre-human ancestors, the hominins, we come from some of them too, although there was a lot of branching out among the hominins, and some of them were dead-end branches that did not lead to us. So there's a lot of variety there. Not much variety anymore, just us. And so these old superstitions may be extremely old, and it's possible we can't even begin to reconstruct the thinking that would have brought it up, because the thinking would have been done in a brain that was more ape than human. So, oh well, this old stuff keeps going on, and this bizarre religious stuff keeps going on. We can't get rid of this. It's so primitive. Come on. Get rid of the superstition.
Well, these are just old ways of people trying to pre-people trying to figure out how to live in the world.
Yeah. You know, yeah, so that's a part of it. You don't know what the hell that thing is that's going on. And once one person comes up with the idea that there's a god or some other supernatural being that's doing it, well, that's going to catch on, because that person has an explanation. And once somebody comes up with an explanation, even if it doesn't make any real sense, people will latch onto it. And that's what people are still doing today.
So smooch under the mistletoe. Do not drink any as an antidote.
Well, also, I One of the advantages of being here in the bedroom is I'm sitting in front of a computer, and I looked this up, and on poison.org, it says mistletoe had been widely considered to be extremely poisonous, but, quote, swallowing American mistletoe can cause symptoms such as gastrointestinal upset, but it is not likely to cause serious poisoning if small amounts are unintentionally swallowed, unquote. So the deal is, yeah, it's not like cyanide or something. But if you have enough of it, if you have enough mistletoe, it might do some bad things. So, yeah, the deal is if you have any of that, you might want to call, you know, the local poison control people and say, gee, I just drank or ate half a pound of mistletoe. What do you think's going to happen to me? And they may decide to send an ambulance over to see you. So anyway, there it is. It's not that poisonous, but it will mess you up. And you probably won't be in a party mood after you've had some. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And so, by the way, we have mentioned in the past, and since we're doing this in the bedroom, you may deeply in the background hear the neighbors doing something. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but the neighbors are making some noise, and although this is a cardioid microphone, we might pick some of it up. I'm not sure. So if you hear some strange stuff going on, well, besides the strange stuff we put on the air intentionally, the explanation is that the neighbors just behave that way. And merry winter. Yes, the winter solstice occurred this past Thursday night at 10:27 p.m. Eastern Time. The sun will set today, Saturday, December 23rd, at 4:33 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is a full 5 minutes later than it had set on the afternoon of our last program, because for the last program it was 4:28, which is as early as sunsets get in Brooklyn, and basically for most of Greater New York, or maybe all of Greater New York. Although here and there I see people making statements about when the sub-season or the season will change, and they're 1 minute off. And I don't know. Is that the result of them, of the change being different from Coney Island to the top of the Bronx? Or is that just some other thing that's happening? Maybe they subscribe to a service which tells them things and wants to make sure that they pay them for it, so they give them a slightly wrong answer for when it is. Because I use the Naval Observatory, the United States Naval Observatory, to get times for things. So, whatever. Anyway, so the sun's going to set at 4:33. It's a full 5 minutes later than the last program 2 weeks ago. I have a chart showing the seasons and subseasons on my website. And if you go up to glib.com, you can take a look at that and be thrilled. And we've been treated to some very nice December twilights this year. Some Decembers, it's overcast for almost the entire month, and there's no real twilight. It's just the waning of the light behind the overcast. But we've been getting a lot of clear and almost clear days this month, And some of these December twilights are really beautiful things. Very good stuff. We like them. I highly recommend that you take a look at the December twilights because, you know, it's not spectacular. It's sort of the opposite of spectacular. And it's just a very interesting looking thing, especially the way they reflect on windows and anything reflective. So there's my suggestion for that particular idea. And as we mention often at this time of year, you don't have to believe in any kind of a superstition to try and let the festive stuff make you feel better. It's natural to get depressed when the sun is setting so damned early, and it's natural to want to try and maybe do something to make yourself feel better. And what people have done over the millennia is they do stuff that causes lights and things. Gee, why are there festivals of lights at this time of year? Well, because everything's dark, so if you light something up, oh, it's light, and we feel a little bit better. And what can happen is all the different colors, the bright colors, and these days it's bright colored lights because we can do it now. If you look at a lot of the Scandinavian countries where it really gets awful, where, you know, sometimes you get 5 minutes of daylight in a certain city around this time of year, you end up with a lot of things that were painted very bright colors. And those very far northern countries were known for brightly painted everything they could get. And the reason, again, is because when you have this early sunset stuff going on, that can help to cheer you up a little bit. And, of course, the lights do it even better. So, yes, don't feel bad about, you know, looking at somebody's Christmas display. You don't have to believe in, you know, any gods or anything. But just let the lights make you feel better. And that's a good idea to feel better. And, of course, this is December 23rd when you're hearing this program broadcast. And Isaac Newton's birthday is in 2 days. Yes, December 25th, Isaac Newton's birthday, and we all obey his law of gravity. Nobody defies that. And he also, of course, invented the calculus, and he did a whole lot of other... He also invented a type of reflecting telescope, which was very important. It changed how astronomy got done. And he changed how astronomy got done even more by saying, hey, you know, working on the theories of people like Copernicus, the observations of Tycho, and the theories of Kepler, I think I can understand why the planets move around the way they do. And he said, it's because of this gravity thing. And he even came up with the formula for universal gravitation, which, by the way, we've been featuring on the pre-program blurb graphic for this radio program for this whole month. And by the way, Pickles was talking about Yule logs. Well, we've got a Yule log on YouTube that we did years ago, and you can see that on our pre-program blurbs for this month. Also, I'm going to put it up, if I can, on the archive for these programs. Okay, so there's that. Merry Isaac Newton's birthday. So Russia's Supreme Court has declared that the, quote, global LGBTQ plus movement, unquote, is an extremist organization, and they banned activities related to anything LGBT plus infinity, any activities related to that in the country. Some Supreme Court. You think ours is bad? Woo! One thing that happened immediately after this ruling of the Russian Supreme Court was big raids on Moscow gay bars and clubs. Clubgoers reportedly had their documents checked and photographed by security thugs, as authorities said the raids were in connection to drug searches. Yeah, they realize that saying we're going to go after these people because they're gay kind of doesn't look too good. So they say, oh, we're going after drugs, but they're only going after the gay clubs, and they're going to see who's there. And we know what happens after that. Good chance of a knock on the door, or in some cases, good chance of the door flying off its hinges and armed men start storming in. Oh, God, what terrible things going on over there. So in this past fortnight, a jury ruled that Rudy Giuliani has to pay Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss $148 million in damages for defaming them. Oh, that's so good. To show what a creep he is, he went and defamed them again in exactly the same way just before the jury decision came in. Oh. And now Giuliani has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Manhattan. But United States District Court Judge Beryl Howell, who presided over the trial, ruled Wednesday that Freeman and Moss could immediately start to collect the award. I hope they do. I mean, he doesn't have $148 million, but I hope they strip him down to a penniless status. The judge wrote, quote, Giuliani has never denied that he has taken steps to hide his assets from judgment creditors and has offered no affirmative pledge that he will take no steps to do so, unquote. So the judge knows that this Giuliani character is a lowlife. During the trial, the judge had noted that Giuliani had, quote, simply ignored, unquote, her orders without, quote, making any excuse, unquote. One interesting twist I've read about all of this is that damages incurred by what are called, quote, intentional torts, unquote, like what Giuliani is guilty of, are not covered by bankruptcy protection. We'll see how he twists and turns in this mess he's caused for himself. Meanwhile, he owes money all over the place, including to lots of lawyers and to his ex-wife, and Trump isn't giving him a penny to help. But I'm really glad to hear that bankruptcy may not protect him, so he could end up suffering a gigantic total hit, and we'll see who gives him money to live on after that. I think his lavish lifestyle might be over, unless the people who support the lavish lifestyle of Clarence Thomas decide to take Giuliani under their wing, too.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So the Colorado Supreme Court has ruled in a 4-3 decision that Trump must be removed from the ballots for the Republican primary election because of his violation of the Constitution's, quote, insurrectionist disqualification clause, unquote. It's going to the Supreme Court of the United States, this whole case, and I bet they'll find a way to keep their benefactor in the race. I don't trust the Supreme Court to rule properly. Sure sounds like he's disqualified, though. Predictably, Republicans are saying that they're going to remove Biden from the presidential ballots in the states that they control. Well, Biden didn't cause an insurrection, so the 14th Amendment wouldn't apply. This is like their impeachment of Biden that they're doing right now. They can't name any high crimes or misdemeanors that he's committed, but they're going to impeach him. Meanwhile, the United States Supreme Court has refused to fast-track a decision on Trump's claim of blanket immunity, and that will probably delay the scheduled March 3rd start of his federal election interference trial. The appeal will instead go to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which has agreed to expedite consideration and has set a hearing for January 9th. So, yeah, the Supreme Court's trying to finagle so that Trump can get through the election without being convicted. In something that was breaking news just as we started to record this program, the Detroit News is reporting that Donnie Bonespur Trump is on tape bullying Detroit election officials in an effort to get them to refuse to certify the vote count during the 2020 election, just as he did in Georgia. According to the Detroit News, Trump said to the election officials, quote, "How can anyone sign something when you have more votes than people?" unquote. And of course, that talks about the people in Michigan signing off and saying, yes, these are the vote counts, and Trump lost. And then Trump said, quote, "We've got to fight for our country. We can't let these people take our country away from us," unquote. Oh, God, I hope they prosecute him in Michigan, too. Chugga, 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 chug, chug, chug. It's the BAI pitching train. With the WBAI pitching hobos on the train. Yes, we're the WBAI pitching hobos. And we're here to tell you we need to beg you for money. Yes, WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And what we do is we don't run commercials. And when we say we're listener-sponsored, it's not simply a slogan. It's the truth. It is, in fact, a legal declaration. We are listener-sponsored. We get our money from you, the listeners. And the way we do that is this way. We get on the air and we beg you to support this radio station. And what you can do to help keep WBAI on the air and keep back of the book, that's this radio program on WBAI, is go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. So that's what you do. It's pretty easy. Just call 1-212-209-2950. And when the call center picks up, you're not calling anybody at BAI these days. When the call center picks up, say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. Please remember to say back of the book. That way we get credit for it. And what you do then, a BAI buddy, by the way, is what we call our sustaining membership. Sustaining membership where you donate on a monthly basis the same amount of money. Now, you can donate $10, $15, $20. You can do that on a monthly basis, and it will really help the station. Again, the minimum is $10 these days. It used to be less, but now it's $10 because it's difficult to handle smaller amounts of money. And so what you would then be is a sustaining member of WBAI, and you will be called a BAI buddy. And every month, the somebody, I guess a bank, will take either $10, $15, $20, whatever you say, whatever amount you say, out of either your credit card or your debit card, and they will send it to BAI. Simple as that. And so that way you will be supporting WBAI. Now, when you call 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy, the first thing they'll do is ask you your credit card information or debit card information. You give them that. And then they will ask how much you want to donate. And you can do $10, $15, $20 a month, more if you have it, or maybe you can even do it. I'm not sure. I ask them if they'll allow you to do like, you know, $17.50 a month. I don't know if they allow that or if they have cutoffs or something. But anyway, and then they will, you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And they will charge it on that date. That way you can choose a date of the month when it's going to be convenient for you. Some people would prefer to have the card charged early in the month. Some people would like it at the end of the month, some in the middle. You know how your finances work, so you could pick out a date in the month when you will be donating. Again, 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. And, you know, we do different strange things here on this radio program. And the stuff you don't hear anyplace else, some people would have something to say about that. But anyway, so you hear these different things on this radio program, and you could support the continuance of this radio program, the continuance of WBAI New York, by calling 1-212-209-2950. Again, there are people who are still looking at these overnight programs, the programs that go from midnight to 6 a.m., and there's still that proposal from some people to basically rent out WBAI's airtime from midnight to 6 a.m. And that would wipe out all of these overnight programs. And what are you going to listen to then, huh? Yeah, so if you want to keep these overnight programs going, you got to call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And by doing that, you will make it so that we can keep on broadcasting. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call. Give the call center a call at that number now, and it will really help to keep all of this very strange, unusual stuff going on for a while longer at least. And we thank you if you do. On a little note from the latest Scientific American, we have a quick hit from that magazine. And this is from Italy, and it says, for the first time, an artificial intelligence program has deciphered a word from a badly scorched scroll from Herculaneum, one of the cities buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius about 2,000 years ago. By distinguishing ink from the background of blackened papyrus, the technique uncovered the word porphyris, ancient Greek for purple. So there's something people aren't talking about AI being able to do. Most people are scared of the AI stuff, but this is something it can do, because a human being is just not going to be able to figure some things like that out. But if you digitize an image, AI, various computer programs, can start really examining it closely. And they can really look at individual pixels and say, this is where that ends and that begins, and figure things out. So there are a lot of ancient things that could really use deciphering. And, oh boy, I guess maybe we'll be getting more ancient texts showing up in the next number of years. Oh, well. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, again with David Kenny.
David Kenny. And so, we're scheduled to be back here next week. So that's going to be our end of year program. That'll be December 30th. And oh boy, we'll be talking about the end of the year then. And as we said, enjoy yourself at this time of year. Don't let the depression crush you or anything. Enjoy the lights. The hell with the, you know, religious crap that goes with some of it. Lights are just lights, and they can make you feel good. If you want to imbibe in a thing or two a little more than usual, you do that too. What the hell? Why not? So, try to have a good time. And above all, remember what that always obeying Isaac Newton's laws, Dormouse said.
Dead on your feet, well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long. To see.
want your favorite WBAI programming to continue to air without the Fun Drive Day preemption? Becoming a BAI buddy is a great way to prevent that and to help support the station. Just by going to give to WBAI.org, you'll receive a WBAI tote bag, which you can use to carry around some on-air giveaways. For more information, go to give to, that's the number two, WBAI.org. Donate today.
Okay, now you got a pitch.
Ask for money for WBAI?
Damn straight. You got to ask for money for WBAI, and you got to get people to give it, because you are now in charge of publicity and promotion, and if you don't get people to donate, we got to fire you.
So, I have to tell everyone that WBAI listener-supported free speech radio, Truth and Justice Radio, radio for the 99.5% on 99.5 FM, is the best radio station in New York City, the only truly listener-supported station in New York City, and they should contribute to WBAI, become WBAI buddy members. And if they don't?
Then we gotta fire you.
You can't fire me.
Why?
Because I'm just a volunteer. WBAI doesn't have enough money to hire somebody to do publicity and promotion.
So what do we do instead?
How about a silly conversation like this that we can broadcast on the air and say, please support Peace and Justice, Free Speech Radio, radio for the 99.5% at 99.5 FM. Contribute. Become a WBAI buddy member.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
Saturday. All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Extinction Diaries. The Western Arctic caribou population has plummeted from 2002 until 2016, starting with over 500,000 to just 200,000 in that 14 years. Scientists do not know exactly why the caribou suffer such losses, but dramatic ice loss and other climate factors remain the primary suspicion. The Arctic tundra is changing rapidly. Shrubs are appearing where there had been none for tens of thousands of years. Winter rains, formerly uncommon, are now frequent. And Arctic regions of North America and Asia have been the scene of enormous wildfires that a generation ago were almost non-existent. Rains and wildfires are not good for the caribou, and ice loss prevents migration. 2019 was the warmest year ever recorded in Alaska, and scientists say the trend will continue and accelerate as global temperatures rise. The caribou's survival depends on humans' willingness to guarantee migration routes. Perhaps it is time to change our perspective and realize we now face along with the caribou, a migration more accurately labeled an escape route. I am Aaron Oliveira, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives. Hi, this is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of